You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
We're good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Wednesday, August the 12th. I am your host, Mike. And we got a lot to talk about in the world of the Miami Dolphins. First things first, though, if you listen to Monday's show, I spoke about a new contest we would be announcing shortly here on the website. And I'm ready to make that announcement, so let's go through it real quick. The prize is a Larry Zonka autographed mini helmet we will be giving away here at the website. And here's how you can win it. There are two steps you have to do to win the Larry Zonka autographed mini helmet, or have one entry for an opportunity to win, I should say. Number one, follow us both on Twitter. That is, follow us at Dolphins Talk and also follow at Dolphins Talk Tom. If you already follow us both on Twitter, you're all set and you're halfway there. If not, make sure you're following us both on Twitter. Step number two is you have to buy the book, 100 Things Dolphins Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And you have to use the promo code Dolphins Talk to save 25% off the book, off the price. The price of the book is about $16 and change. Use the promo code, you save about $4 or $5. Comes down to about $12 to purchase the book. Once you purchase the book, send me a screenshot or email me a screenshot of the receipt or proof of purchase to DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Again, all this information is up on our website, and it's up on my Twitter feed at DolphinsTalk. You do those two steps, and you get one entry to win a Larry Zonka autographed mini helmet. And now, I have to stress, you have to buy the book through our website or the Triumph book website. That's the only place the promo code is valid. If you buy this book through Amazon or somewhere else and send me a screenshot that you bought the book through Amazon, it's not a valid entry, and you won't be entered to win. So buy the book through our website. We have links to it up all over our website, DolphinsTalk.com, or go straight to the Triumph book website and buy it there and use our promo code to save 25% off. Also, there is a bonus opportunity where if you do one extra step, you can get 10 more entries. So you go from one entry to 11 to have 11 opportunities to win the helmet. I won't go through that here. Once again, it's all up on our website, but I just wanted to announce the Larry Zonka autographed mini helmet contest. You have until Friday, September 11th to, enter to win. And I will announce the winner on Sunday, September 13th. That is week one of the NFL. That is the day that the Miami Dolphins play the Patriots. So that morning on Sunday, September 13th, I will announce the winner. So two steps to enter, and, best of luck to everybody if you want to enter and win a Larry Zonka autographed mini helmet. Let's get to the news. On Tuesday, the Miami Dolphins placed another player on the COVID list. This time it was Xavien Howard. Not really huge news since Xavien Howard was already on the PUP list. Excuse me, he's already on the PUP list, so now he's also on the COVID list. I'm not sure that really matters much because he wasn't participating anyways in practice. So Xavien Howard on the COVID list. The only other player currently for the Dolphins on the COVID list is Ereck Flowers. Now, you have to remember, Flowers went on the COVID list about a week ago with a bunch of other guys. All those other guys are off the COVID list. Flowers is the only one left on it. Read between the lines with that what you will. Once again, if you're on a list, it does not mean you have COVID necessarily. Just means you might have interacted with somebody who had COVID. But everyone else who was on a list from last week is now off it, except for Flowers. Read between the lines. And most people who have been put on this list, most have been off it within 3, 4, 5 days. So there's that. Xavien Howard on the COVID list. Next thing I'm going to talk about is the article from Tuesday on Bleacher Report regarding Minkah Fitzpatrick. And he sort of, for the first time since last year, goes in depth about why he left Miami, why he wanted out of Miami, and how things sort of fell apart with himself and head coach Brian Flores. And before I start this, you know, don't send me nasty emails. Don't send me angry tweets saying, move on, get over it, I don't want to hear it, let it go, why are we talking about this? Look, folks, this is a Miami Dolphins website, this is a Miami Dolphins podcast. We talk about the news of the day concerning the Miami Dolphins. And this is the first time Minkah Fitzpatrick has spoken about this and gave his side of the story. So, you know, my job with this website that I own and this podcast is to talk about the news of the day and the hot topics of the day. This is a hot topic. This is a big news story because we're finding out why a guy who Miami picked at the top of round one, you know, he wanted out of here so bad. So we're going to talk about this, and I am. So if you don't want to hear it, and if you're going to whine, and if you're not emotionally stable enough, or if you're not mature enough to actually hear, you know, 5 minutes on this topic, then click off the podcast and listen some other day. But I am going to talk about it, so I don't want to hear you whining and bitching, because this is newsworthy in many ways. So let's get right to it. Now, first off, I'll say this. After reading this article, a couple things hit me. Number one, I don't think Minkah Fitzpatrick's the bad guy. I really don't. I just think he's very young and he's very immature. And what came through in this article, which it does not paint him in a great light when he talks about his time in Miami. It just doesn't paint him in a great light. It just makes him look bad. And part of it is, you know, with some of the things he said, some of the quotes he gave, which I will go over. I will say this. Minkah Fitzpatrick comes off as a guy in his early 20s who thinks he knows everything. And as I've said in this podcast before, you know, when you're in your early 20s, you think you know it all. Nobody can tell you any different. You got the world by the you know what. And I know everything. I got life all figured out. And nobody's going to tell me any different. And we all know, for those of us who have, you know, gotten a little bit older over the years here, into our 30s and 40s and even beyond that, that just ain't the case. You don't, you know, you look back at your time when you were in your early 20s, you realize how much you didn't know. And with Minkah here, it comes off as a guy who doesn't, he comes off just immature and young and, you know, whatever. So how this plays out is, first let me give you just an overview, a brief timeline of what this article says, then we'll dive in depth into some of the quotes. So long story short, the Miami Dolphins hire Flores. Minkah is very happy and excited because obviously Flores is the guy from the Patriots who just shut down the Rams in the Super Bowl, is this mastermind on defense. Minkah was happy that Flores was about to be the next head coach of the Dolphins, and he loved the hire. When Flores first got to Miami a few months in about April or May, he spoke to Fitzpatrick, told him the role he wanted him to play for this upcoming season, more of that Patrick Chung role, what Patrick Chung did in New England, which was a lot of strong safety and linebacker, but that was the key role of the Patriots' defense, was the Patrick Chung role, and how he was used. That made that whole unit click on that side of the ball. So Flores wanted to put Fitzpatrick in that key role. Fitzpatrick did not like that. He did not want to play strong safety and linebacker predominantly. But he bit his tongue, and he didn't say anything for months. So he finds that out in about April or May. Fast forward to training camp in August. And once they get on the field for practices, Fitzpatrick just becomes really frustrated with how he's being used. Just doesn't like it, doesn't want to be in that role. He doesn't mind being moved around, but he doesn't want to be pigeonholed into a strong safety or a linebacker role where he's just being, you know, used in those two spots predominantly. He wants to be a free safety and he wants to be in coverage because that's where he feels he's best used and where he can use his skill set. He said something along the lines of, I want to be away from the muck, meaning he wants to be away from the box. He wants to be the center fielder where he can use his mind and his speed to make plays. And that's not how he was being used by Flores. He was being used, you know, in the box near the line of scrimmage. So he wasn't happy. And he goes to the staff and goes, you know, please, in practice, you know, put me in some one-on-one drills. Let me work on my hips. Put me in some coverage drills, because as a strong safety linebacker, he wasn't even involved in those drills in practice. Brian Flores told him, no, not going to do that because that's not where I'm going to use you. And Fitzpatrick just becomes really frustrated. One of the practices, he goes running off the field and just didn't want to be there. And, you know, they had him working on this hand drill where, you know, the guy's near the line of scrimmage, how you use your hands, how you position your hands, and how you, you know, use your hands to get off a block and stuff. You know, it's a lot of hitting the bags, so to say. And he didn't like being part of that drill where he's hitting the bag. He wanted to be in the coverage drills. He wanted to be at free safety using his speed and his athleticism. He didn't like that he was having to line up, you know, against linebackers. I mean, against offensive tackles and offensive guards and trying to get off blocks, because he felt that's not the best way to use them. So then fast forward to week one, and he kept asking the staff to let him work in those, to be in those drills in practice. For one of the practices, the staff said, okay, and they just like threw him a bone. They put him out there for a few drills. They really didn't give him a chance. And after practice, he went to the staff and like, yeah, that's not how we want to use you. So it really was a big nothing and like a waste of time. Fast forward to week one of the regular season where Miami got blown out by the Ravens. 59-10, they gave up 31 first downs, over 643 yards of offense. And Minka was just totally frustrated because you have to remember, last year at the end of training camp, you know, after the final preseason game, Miami cut a ton of guys and they signed a ton of guys that were released from other teams. Well, that's only 5 or 6 days before the first game. So the first game comes, Minka's on the field with a bunch of guys. He didn't know their names. He never played with them before. He didn't know who they were. So Minka says, it was my first time ever seeing them. I didn't even know half their names while I'm out there on the field with them. In the middle of a game, I'm trying to communicate with somebody, and he's looking at me like, I have no clue what I'm talking about. We went out and got embarrassed. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Because after that game, Minka went again to Brian Flores and says, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be used like this. You're using me wrong. I want to be traded. And that's when Flores finally relented and said, okay, you know, we're going to let you go. Some of the other quotes I want to talk about, though. So that's the story in a nutshell. Some of the quotes from Minka, it's just, you know, it just sounds like a spoiled kid who has a sense of entitlement his whole life, who doesn't like being told what to do and doesn't want to be coached and is not easily coachable. Here's one of the quotes. It was messing up my skill set, Fitzpatrick said. I was working with the hand fighting drills against tight ends and working on hitting the bags and stuff like that. That's fine and dandy, but that wasn't my skill set. That's where Minka's wrong. Yes, that's not your skill set now. Maybe if you work on that, you can expand as a player, improve as a player, add that to your existing skill set, and become a better player. Minka was just like, I want to do this. I don't want to do nothing but this, and I don't want to learn anything else. That's where Minka's wrong. Yes, that's not your skill set. Make it part of your skill set. Improve as a player. Grow as a player. How he was just coming off a rookie season. He's a nobody in this league on some level. And it's like, you know, you have a staff who's trying to make you a well-rounded player. Minka didn't want anything. When he ran off the practice field that one day, he goes, they were frustrated at me for doing that. But I was like, I'm not trying to sit here and punch a bag all day. Well, grow up, kid. You know, being an NFL player is a job. And, you know, at most people's jobs, they don't, you know, like what they have to do all day. So you have to be a professional about things. And for a guy who at the time only had 16 games under his belt, who the hell is he to say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that? That's where Minka's wrong. And this is where this article doesn't paint him in a great light. And I'm kind of surprised someone with the Pittsburgh PR department let him talk to the media and didn't give this a once-over saying, yeah, we don't want you to run. I don't know. I'm surprised they let him talk about this in Pittsburgh to someone in the media. And I'm surprised, you know, Minka has no self-awareness at all. He really has no self-awareness because he comes off as very poor in this article. And it doesn't make him look good. One other quote I'll read. And I'll have the link to the article up on the website, on the podcast page. It was just the fact that I was being used the wrong way, and we had a and we didn't see things the same way between myself and the head coach. Pretty much, you know, he wanted to do what he wanted to do, and he wasn't going to listen to Brian Flores come hell or high water. And that's where Minka's wrong. That's where Minka is wrong. I will say this, though. Two things. And it's not a... It's not in defense of Minka Fitzpatrick. It's not. Although some people might take it that way. Number one. I don't care how much Minka Fitzpatrick whined and bitched. You still don't trade him. I said it at the time last year when Miami sent him to Pittsburgh in that trade. I don't care how much he complained. You don't trade him. He is a special talent. And for all the whining and complaining, when you get past that, the guy's a really good football player. And you can tell he's going to be a really good football player. Even what he did in Pittsburgh last year and how he sort of stepped into that new team and what he did on the field, you can tell this guy's special. And, you know, just because a guy's not happy doesn't mean you trade him. As I've said this story 100 times, Dan Marino asked to be traded in the 1980s from the Dolphins. He went to Don Shula. He goes, trade me. I don't want to be here. Don Shula laughed in his face and said, no, I ain't trading you. Sorry. See you practice. So just because a player complains and just because a player does not want to be here doesn't mean you trade him. I mean, no. And I would. And if I'm the Dolphins, they had control of him for 4 more years, pretty cheap. And then if they really wanted to keep him, they could have put the franchise tag on him. They had control of him. What was Minka going to do? Minka had no leverage, zero leverage. And, you know, he was, you know, he couldn't have gone out there and half-assed it or gone out there and not tried because he's playing for his next payday. He's paying for his next contract. And he knows he has to put good play on tape to get that big payday, which for all players in the NFL is your second contract. So I wouldn't have traded him. And I still want to trade him, even after reading these quotes where he comes off as an immature brat, because I hate to break it to people who might not know. A lot of NFL players are really, you know, sense of entitlement, immature, early 20s. They let things go to their head, and you have to deal with it. And that leads me to my next point. Brian Flores, well, I understand he couldn't get through to Minka and get him to buy in to what he wanted him to do. Great head coaches find a way to make it work. Great head coaches find a way to communicate with superstar players. And I'm always saying Minka is a superstar because when you're picked, you know, just outside the top 10, when you're picked at the top half of round one, you know, you're a superstar player heading into this league, and there's a level of expectation around that. And, you know, Minka, like I said, might not like him as a person, might not like his attitude. He's a really good player. So you can't take that away from him. So I do think Flores, you know, would it have hurt Flores to let Minka for a couple practices line up at free safety and let him do what he wanted to do, work on some one-on-one drills and play free safety some and just, you know, listen to the guy and say, okay, I want to use you this way. I hear what you're saying. I will get. We're talking practice, folks. I know I sound like Allen Iverson. We're talking practice to let Minka for one or two practices do what he wanted to do, and then sit down with him and say, "I gave you a chance to show me, and you know, talk it out, and maybe find some common ground, maybe find some middle ground where we can make this work." And I don't think Flores did that enough. Maybe if he had to do it all over again, he would. Maybe he wouldn't. I don't know the man, but I think Flores could have been a little bit more flexible here. And that might have been a rookie head coach being a little bit too stubborn, or just maybe that's just the way he felt. I don't know. But, you know, the article doesn't paint Minka in a good light. And I will say this, too, because when Miami selected Minka, the one thing we heard is he's a high character guy, good character guy, this, that, and the other. You're going to love him. He's the first one to show up, last one to leave. All this good stuff. And, you know, every year with the draft, there's those terms and those buzzwords we always hear. High ceiling, low floor. High character guy, low character guy. This, that, and the other. And you know what? I think when it comes to the character stuff, and this is living proof of a perfect example. When a kid is coming out of college, you don't know and you can't trust everything you hear regarding high character, low character, good character, bad character. Because nobody knows how that person or how that young adult will change once they get to the NFL, once they got a little bit of money in their pocket, or if their ego and their head are going to swell up. And I think with Minka, I'm sure when he was at Alabama with Nick Saban, he probably was a high character guy. He probably was a good character guy. He probably did everything he was asked. I think being picked, you know, at the top of round one, I think putting a little bit of money in his pocket, you know, maybe his head started to swell and he thought his, you know what, didn't stink. Because it just comes off as, you know, he's a little bit arrogant here in this article and he knows all and nobody's going to tell him nothing. So I think with the draft, you know, at least for me, moving forward, when I hear terms like that, high character, low character, bad character, whatever, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt more because, you know, people change. And I think people do change when they leave college and go to the NFL. You don't know how a person or a player will react and, you know, make that transition. And I think this is just a great example of that because, you know, like I said, when you read the whole article in totality, when he talks about some of the other stuff outside of this one part about his time in Miami, about, you know, what he wants to be in the NFL, about his time in Pittsburgh and sort of his dreams and goals, you know, he's not a bad guy. And I don't want to make it sound like he's a bad guy because he's not a bad guy. He's just immature and he doesn't get it yet. And, you know, if he ever does get it and he ever does grow up a little, you know, he's going to be, you know, a player that every team's going to want. But right now, he's not there yet. He's not there mentally. On the field, you know, he can do anything. He can make the play. You know, he's a great player. He's just not there as sort of a leader or as a someone on the roster who you can sort of trust in that when times get tough, this kid's not going to break. Because I think, you know, he's not mentally there yet. In that regard, obviously he's very intelligent, very smart. I'm just talking about, you know, when the times get tough, you need someone to also be tough and fight through it. And with Minka, I just don't get that from reading this article and from everything we've heard on this matter. But, you know, I want to talk about this because it gives a lot of insight into what happened last year, roughly around this time, about 11 months ago now, and why, you know, because we heard the Miami Dolphins side of why they moved on from him. Now we're hearing it from Minka, and we're hearing the timeline as he tells it. And if anything, I think he was a little bit too honest. He told too much, so I don't think he's lying here. I think he was very honest, and he explained everything in extreme detail. But, you know, again, don't send me emails, tweets, let it go, move on. Why are you talking about this? You got to get over it. We know. We've gotten over it. I'm just commenting on a story and commenting on an article regarding a guy who was a very high draft pick and how he did not get along with the current Miami Dolphins head coach and the staff. So it's worth commenting on, and it's worth talking about because I just found it fascinating to hear Minka's side of the story.
And now it's time for another one of Mike's rants.
All right, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a rant here concerning the last topic on today's podcast, and it's about the NFL and, you know, how it's sort of being affected by college football right now. Is the big news, the big sports story of this week thus far has been college football and the uncertainty around it. And at the time I am recording this, it's been sort of confirmed. Well, here's what is being reported at the time I am recording this late on Tuesday night. As of right now in 2020, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten will not play football in the fall. So next month, there will be no games with the Pac-12 and no games with the Big Ten. The SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 have all publicly announced on Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday evening that they will play in September. They will play football in the fall. So out of the Power 5 conferences, three of them will play next month. Two of them won't. So how does this tie into the NFL and how does this tie in to a lot of things? And, you know, some of it's just very upsetting, I will say that. It's very, very upsetting to someone like me who is a big fan of NCAA football. I love college football. Look, I love the NFL. I love the Miami Dolphins. Clearly, I wouldn't own this website if I didn't. College football is a beautiful thing on Saturdays in the fall. It is just a great atmosphere. For those of you who live in a town of a major college team, I don't care if the team's good or bad. You know, if you ever head to a major college football game, there's no experience like it. If there's just no experience like it. It's a lot of fun, and I am, you know, this is news It makes me sad. It makes me sad and it makes me mad. First, I'll get to the sad. The sad part is it didn't have to be this way. It really did not have to be this way. Well, you know what? First, let me get to the NFL aspect of this, and then I'll get to the sad and the mad. The NFL aspect. So there's two things here with the NFL aspect that have a lot of people asking. Number one, will the NFL move games to Saturday to Saturdays? If there, right now it's no. It's no, and here's why. If there was no college football, if all five of the Power Five conferences said we're not playing, then yes, the NFL was going to move probably three games, one at 1 o'clock on a Saturday, one at about 4:30 on a Saturday, and one at about 7:30, 8 o'clock on a Saturday. They're going to move three games to Saturday each week. So each week this fall, you would have had, you know, three games on Saturday. You would have had a game on Thursday. You would have had three games on Saturday, your Sunday slate, and then your Monday night game. But with the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12 playing, that's not going to happen. The NFL doesn't need to fill a void there because you obviously have enough games amongst Power 5 conference schools to fill up a Saturday slate on TV. And all of the networks will be fine. Now, Fox has hurt a lot here because Fox has deals with the Pac-12 and the Big 10. So Fox is hurt there a bit. I also think Fox has a secondary deal with the Big 12, though. So I'm sure Fox will carry a lot of Big 12 games nationally. And, you know, the SEC and the ACC, they got their deals with ESPN, ABC, and CBS. So they're going to have a lot of games nationally. The NFL will not move to Saturday. They're not going to move some games to Saturday. Number two, the NFL draft. And this is where I think a lot of fans out there don't understand the business side of how sports works and the business side of the NFL. And I'm going to explain it to you right now. In sports, you know, you have all your leagues. You got Major League Baseball, you got the NHL, you got the NBA, you got golf, you got NASCAR, and you have the NFL, obviously. The NFL is a giant amongst those leagues. And I don't mean like a little giant. It's a big giant, and it dwarfs all those other leagues all combined. The NFL don't give two flying you-know-whats about any one of those leagues at all. And they really don't care at all about college football. The NFL draft is held in late April every year, and the NFL draft in 2021 will be held in late April. If the Pac-12 or the Big Ten want to play games in the spring, if they want to start a season of games in March, April, and May, that's all well and good. The NFL draft ain't moving. If you think the NFL draft is going to move because a few kids from Rutgers or Washington State or Indiana, you know, might want to be in the NFL draft but also play this year, they don't care. The NFL draft's going to tell those kids, you can play, but, you know, you won't be eligible for this draft, or it'll probably hurt your stock if you're not going to do stuff like the combine and pro days and all that stuff. But the NFL draft ain't moving. The NFL draft's not going to move to July. The NFL draft ain't going to move. And they're damn sure not going to move the NFL combine. They're going to hold their events when they want to hold their events. And whoever wants to participate in the combine or the draft will participate. And the NFL will move along like life is normal. The NFL doesn't care. It doesn't have to move. Once again, college, the NFL is going to hold a draft. Whether they got, you know, whether some kids from two conferences, we're talking about just two conferences now, you know, a few dozen schools, okay? The Pac-12, there's only so many schools in the Pac-12, so many schools in the Big Ten, and they're not going to, you know, change how they operate because of a few schools in two conferences. So it's just not going to happen. The NFL draft will not be moved. It's just not. Now, let's get to the other aspect of this is, you know, this news I saw on Tuesday of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten not playing. You know, it's just sad. It's sad on many levels because it did not have to be this way. And why didn't it have to be this way? And I'm not going to make this about politics, I promise. Now, some of you might read between what I'm saying and say, Mike, you're making this about politics. I'm really not. I'm making this about you. I'm making this about, you know, Joe Fan. I'm making this about the citizens of America, which is, you know, really starting to piss me off when it comes to this virus, because you look around the world and pretty much, I'm sure there's a few countries, pretty much every major country in the world who was hit with this virus have sort of come through it on the other side and gotten back to a level of normalcy. And they've sort of handled it. They got through it, and life's pretty much back to normal. Not here in America. We still find a way to screw this up. And really, it's because, you know, as people, we just, you know, refuse to make some simple sacrifices, and we refuse to follow some simple rules. And, you know, us not being able to follow those rules and make a couple sacrifices through March, April, May, June, even into July, you know, has pretty much cost us college football, you know, at least with the five power conferences and some of the other conferences, because obviously there's going to be no football in the MAC, the Mountain West canceled, you know, some of the smaller conferences, they already canceled. They got the Big Ten and the Pac-12, two big conferences. You know, some of you people brought this on yourselves, and Tom and me said it way back, late March, first part of April, when this all started to happen. You know, if you want to see football, follow the rules. Social distance, wash your hands, wear a mask. The simple stuff, which, you know, you're not being asked to run a marathon here. You're not being asked to dig a ditch. You're being asked to wear a mask in public and don't go to a restaurant or a bar and stand on top of each other. You're asked to be some simple sacrifices, and some people refuse. And we all see the videos on YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. Look, the crazy people who go to a Walmart or go to a supermarket and they're being asked to leave because they're not wearing a mask, and they start throwing stuff, and I'm going to call my lawyer. This is my constitutional right. No, it's not. It's not. You don't have to call a lawyer. You're just being a child and a moron. Wear a mask. Follow some simple rules. If you would have done that, we'd probably have a full slate of, you know, college football right now, and we have a NFL season where maybe most of these teams wouldn't have to play in an empty stadium, and maybe you could have, you know, 25% capacity, 50% capacity. You could have some fans at the games. But because we as a country and we as Americans are so spoiled, have the sense of entitlement, and think, I know better than anybody. Well, we have a country filled of Micah Fitzpatrick's in some level who just, I know better. I ain't wearing no damn mask. I ain't doing this. I ain't doing this. You can't tell me what to do. This, that. Okay, that's fine. But we're never going to get past this virus. Okay? We're never going to get past it with that mindset. And for people saying, you know, it's just 1 year. 2021 will be better. Everything will be back to normal. No. If you think, if we do nothing and we continue on the same path we are, where we got a large chunk of this country who feels they don't have to wear a mask, they don't have to socially, you know, be socially, you know, away from each other and have space between us, and they don't think they have to use hand sanitizer and all stuff. If you think, if we have, you know, whatever that percentage of the country is, maybe it's 25%, 35%, maybe it's more, I don't know. I hope it's not more. That's really sad if it is. If they don't do anything, you know, nothing's going to change in 2021, folks. Nothing's going to, and we're going to be in the same situation next year. Next year this time, we're going to have a NFL draft that'll probably be virtual again from Roger Goodell's basement. We're going to be in the same situation with no mini camps, no training camps. We're going to be in the same friggin' situation a year from now if the mindset in this country and amongst its citizens does not change. And, you know, as someone who loves college football, I live in a town where there's a major college football team. And by major, I mean they're in a Power 5 conference. If you're in a Power 5 conference, you have a major college football team. And the atmosphere around those games is fantastic. It's fun to go to a college football game on a Saturday, you know, of a school in a Power 5 conference is so much fun. The atmosphere is electric. The band, the tailgating, you know, it's just so much fun. And, you know, to not be able to enjoy that this year, because where I live, I can't go to the games. There's no fans allowed at games, just like most of the colleges aren't letting fans at games. That's number one. Number two, you got two major colleges, like the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, I'm going to play. So that ruins that there. You know, the fact that, you know, that sort of ruined or sort of put a black cloud over this college football season, it kind of pisses me off, I'm not going to lie. It pisses me off. As I've said in this podcast, I like Major League Baseball. I'm fine with it. With them playing in an empty stadium, short season, I'll get over it. NHL, I'll get over how they're handling things. NBA, not a huge fan. Whatever, it's fine. Now they're screwing with my football and I'm pissed. I'm not going to lie. And, you know, to the fans out there who sort of haven't been following the rules and haven't, you know, listened to our leaders in this country, the, you know, who haven't listened to the scientists, who haven't listened to the medical experts, and you haven't worn the mask and you just break every rule, I don't care. You know, I don't want to hear you bitch now. You're the last one I want to hear bitch, because you're part of the problem and why we're in this freaking mess. So there's that. And, you know, I just want to get it off my chest. And one thing I want to say, Lou Holtz, if any network, and this is Fox News, which I shouldn't be surprised, puts Lou Holtz on TV to talk about this, they're out of their ever-loving mind. Because Lou Holtz went on Fox News on Tuesday and made an ass of himself. An ass of himself on epic levels. I mean, who the hell would put Lou Holtz on TV? I mean, what he said, I'm going to find the quote. Because it's just, it was embarrassing. Lou Holtz compared college football to World War II and said, in World War II, we knew some people were going to die, but we forged on. So college football should forge on. If some people die, there's risk involved. Screw you, Lou Holtz. Seriously, screw you and the horse you rode in on. I never liked you when you're head coach at Notre Dame, but that was just a sports aspect of things. Now as a human being, I think you're absolutely clueless and a clown. Screw you. I mean, to compare college football and college athletes, 19-year-old kids, 20-year-old kids who play football, to World War II and storming the beach at Normandy, which is what he did. You know, you are an absolute ass clown of epic proportions. And it's people like him who have created this mess, but they're too stupid to know it. They're too stupid to know they're part of the problem and they're not part of the solution. So Lou Holtz and everyone who thinks like him can all go to hell in my book, because they are the reason, you know, sports in this country are so messed up right now. And they're part of the reason why, you know, heading into 2021, not much is going to change. Because people who think like that are just too dumb to understand they're dumb. And it just drives me nuts. But, you know, what am I going to do? I'm mad, I'm sad, I'm aggravated. But college football in 2020, it ain't going to be the same. They're pretty much playing games just for the TV money. I don't blame the conferences that are playing, the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12. Because, you know, they get a ton of money from the networks. They get a ton of money from Fox, ESPN, ABC. So they're playing. There's not going to be a playoff. There won't be any, you know, Rose Bowl, Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl. Those games aren't going to be played. They're playing games, and they're essentially playing for pride. You want to win your conference. You're playing for pride. And they're playing for the TV money, which I don't have a problem with, because that TV money does bankroll every other sport. So if you have a son or daughter who plays field hockey, soccer, water polo, it's pretty much being paid for by college football and the networks who you know, excuse me, bankroll all the other sports. So is what it is, but you know, it frustrates me because people still don't get it. They still don't get it. Their actions have consequences. And you sitting at your house not following the rules, not washing your hands, not wearing a mask, and all this stuff, heading up to concerts and bars and being on top of each other. You know, that's the reason football is not being played in some parts of the country this fall. That's the reason why we're not moving past this virus and starting to head back to normal. This is the new normal. I hate to break it to people. Until there's a big shift in our mindsets of everybody, this is the new normal. And it's the new normal for sports. I'm telling you right now, next year, 2021, Major League Baseball, it's going to be in empty stadiums. NBA might be right back in a bubble. NHL might be right back in a bubble. And a year from now, you know, save this podcast, August 12, 2020. Mike said, a year from now, if there's no major changes, I don't care about a vaccine either, because a lot of people aren't going to take the vaccine. I hear that, which drives me nuts. I'm not taking a vaccine. I don't know enough about it. Okay, whatever. If, you know, a year from now, I'm telling you, the NCAA football and NFL football are going to be in the same boat. If I had to bet right now $100, next April's draft will be virtual. Next April's NFL draft will not be in a city. It's going to be virtual again, because I don't see much changing between August and April. I really don't. I don't see much changing. So, you know, this country has to wake up. And until it does, this is sports, folks. This is sports. So you might not like it. You might not want to accept it. But until every person in our country, you know, takes personal responsibility, makes a couple sacrifices, I know it's tough, make some sacrifices, and sort of, tries to beat this virus, everyone's got to be on the same page. Until that happens, this is normal. This is sports, and it ain't changing. It can change in 2021. It ain't changing. It's, you know, everyone has to wake up. So there, I'm off my soapbox. I just want to get that off my chest because this news, it just really made me sad. It really made me sad when I heard about the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. I'm not even ripping them. They had to make calls. Look, they want the TV money. They don't want to not play. They're being overly cautious. I'm not going to knock them for being overly cautious with young people and, you know, young people and the athletes. I'm not going to knock them for it. But, you know, it's just really sad because college football is a beautiful sport. It's a fun sport to attend. And, you know, it just really upset me. So that's all for today's show. Thank everyone once again for listening. Again, to win the Larry Zonka autographed mini helmet, check out our website, DolphinsTalk.com. All the rules are on there to win an entry and to possibly win the helmet. Again, if you just want to buy the book and not sort of enter the contest, you can buy the book, use the promo code to save 25% off the book and save about $4 or $5. There's that. And we have all the details up on our website. 100 things Dolphins fans should know and do before they died, put out by Triumph Books, the foreword written by Jason Taylor. So check that out. And also, for anything you need to buy from Fanatics, use the link on our website and it will take you right there. And, you know, just use our links on our website and that helps our site a little bit there. So there's that. Check out the website as well. We got a bunch of new articles up and new podcasts. And be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Everyone have a great Wednesday and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.